Welcome to the podcast where we get into the real and raw of pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. My name is Hannah Gill. I'm a VBAC mom, doula, and birth educator, and I help women discover their options and harness their inner power to have the experiences they desire. I'm here to support you through the ebbs and flows of these transformative years so we can have open and honest conversations about the hard, the messy, and the beautiful parts of motherhood. This is the Ebb and Flow Birth Show. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Ebb and Flow Birth Show. On today's episode, we are welcoming Madison Mellencamp. Madison is a seasoned women's holistic health practitioner with over a decade of devoted study in various alternative healing methods, including Reiki therapy, yoga, integrative nutrition health coaching, birth doula support, postpartum doula care, and with formal training in mindfulness and meditation. She is a firm believer that conception through the postpartum period is a sacred rite of passage and is passionate about offering holistic care to mothers in this precious time. So everybody, welcome Madison to the show. Hi, Madison. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm very excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
So if we can start out, because I know that a good portion of people are not familiar with the work that you do and what exactly it entails. So please correct me if I'm saying this incorrectly. Is it Reiki or Reiki?
It's Reiki.
Reiki, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure and clarify that for all the listeners. So What exactly is Reiki and how would you kind of describe the practice of it and what it's beneficial for and kind of how it works and evolved?
Yeah, sure. So Reiki, Rei means universe or universal, and Ki means energy. So I think a lot of people are familiar with the idea of like Tai Chi or Qigong, which Qi, Ki, it means like universal life energy that flows through all living beings. So Reiki is an ancient Japanese healing technique, energy healing technique that is used to aid in the healing of really any kind of physical trauma, emotional trauma, but it can also simply just be used to help balance the nervous system. It's really intended to activate our innate healing capabilities. So it's not that the practitioner is standing over you and healing you. It's actually using that universal life force energy that's in all of us and helping you activate your own inner healing capabilities, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. So could you explain like why, like what drew you to Reiki? Like, did you have personal experience with it first, or was it something that you had an interest in, but had never had therapy done to yourself? Like, how did it come about for why you wanted to do it?
Sure. So about 10 years ago, I started on this, what I would call like my own spiritual path. And I was just really interested in all of these different ancient and like Eastern ideas that kept coming my way. I was living in Bloomington at the time and I was attending these women's circles. And actually my mom sent me this and she was like, I really feel like you should go to these women's circles. It seems right up your alley. And like all of the women there were doing Reiki. And that was the first time that had been done on me. And at first I was like, what is this? This is so weird. But then as soon as someone physically laid their hands on me and started running that energy, that healing energy, I immediately felt so calm and relaxed in a way that I don't think I've ever experienced before. And so immediately I was like, okay, I want to know all about this. What is this? Like, how can I get trained? So I think in the next couple of years, I started my training with a woman in Bloomington who is an energy healer, a Reiki practitioner. And the rest is kind of history. For a really long time, I was a health coach and also a Reiki practitioner. And I kind of bundled those things together. And then since I became a doula about 3 years ago, I've been using Reiki on pregnant women, women who are trying to conceive, and women who are postpartum. And the benefits that I've been seeing are just extraordinary, I think is the best word that I could say.
So do you actually like, I've heard both. Do you actually like put your hands on people, or is it just like your hands are like hovering above them, or how does that work?
Yeah, we can try to take some of the mystery out of this a little bit. So typically your hands or my hands are lightly over the different energy centers of the body. So like in yoga philosophy, that's the chakra system. These different energy houses in our body where we store emotions and trauma, and where if the energy is not moving through our body well, we start feeling sick or depressed or anxious. So yeah, my job is to gently help the energy run through your whole body and your energy system better. So typically I like to place my hands gently over or on the body. But if someone is sensitive to touch or has a history of trauma, then I can do it by just hovering as well.
Okay. So I recently interviewed an acupuncturist, an herbalist, and she had mentioned like those energy spaces. Are those going to be the same areas that like acupuncture would be done on?
Yeah. So that's a really great question. I wanted to hit on that. Yeah. So in Eastern philosophy, there's all these different ways of looking at the body and then our energy systems. And so, yes, it's very similar to acupuncture in traditional Chinese medicine. They recognize the meridian systems that are running through the body. So when you go get acupuncture done, they're putting needles along the meridian lines, but that has a really strong correlation to like the chakra system. And it's also just another way to recognize our energetic body. So it's the same thought, but different practices, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, it does. So you had mentioned like you were going to these women's circles in Bloomington. So like for you personally, if you're comfortable sharing this, like what have been the benefits for Reiki, like for you personally that you've seen?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it like kind of makes me emotional thinking about it, but I think it's only continued to bless my life in such amazing ways. It's one of those things like the more that you practice it, the more attuned you become to that energy and like that, like the energetic systems of life in general. So I think the more that I've practiced and the more I've had it done on me, the more I've just become very attuned to my body and the way it works. And if I'm out of alignment, what I need to do to help become in alignment. My intuition has become stronger. And I think those blessings just continue to magnify in my life. But also like on just speaking from very like normal terms, I think it's significantly helped my anxiety that I've struggled with my whole life. And it's just helped me realize that I can be my own healer, which I think is so, so empowering.
Mm-hmm. So if someone were to come to you for Reiki, say they've never had it done before, how would that work? Like, how do you work with them to figure out like the most beneficial process for them? And does that look different based on, say, their preconception, pregnant or postpartum? Does that process look differently?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And I'd say the process doesn't typically look different, but what we do is we'll sit down together and kind of go over a light history of life, basically, which is really hard to do in a short span of time. But basically, I'll ask the question, like, what's really big and real for you right now? Like, what are the biggest lessons you're working through in your life? Have there been any major traumas that you feel like are still lingering? And then also, like, what are your intentions for today? What do you want to work on? Or what do you want to release? So that looks the same across the board. And then basically, when I do get to start working on somebody's body, I almost always get very intuitive messages from their body or from their baby. And then I typically bring that up during session. And that's kind of where the real magic lies, because I feel like when those messages arise, it often brings a lot of tears, or it brings the healing that I don't know if anyone realized that needed to come up. So yeah, the process is, to short answer, is the process is very similar, but it looks different with every person and also just where they are in their life at that particular moment.
So what would you say, like, for pregnant women in general, what are the main benefits? Like, why would a pregnant woman want to come to you to get Reiki? Like, what would that be a benefit to her?
So generally speaking, there actually have been some studies done on pregnant women with Reiki and the benefit of Reiki. And I don't remember the exact number, but it's like really high percentages of women experience lower anxiety, lower morning sickness, less depression, and less overall physical discomfort. So those are like obvious reasons to come for Reiki. But then I think what I'm finding in my practice is that women are feeling very connected to their bodies and their babies in ways that they didn't think was possible. And then also less obvious reasons what that keep happening, which are really amazing. But with my clients and then other people that come that are past due and they're trying to avoid induction, oftentimes we're able to kind of find what's energetically blocking these women from labor starting. And so often we're able to help like gently open the body to labor and like open that birth portal. So that's been really cool to see.
Yeah, so that would probably be really beneficial for women that have experienced past birth trauma, especially, and they may have those energetic blocks coming into future births and really being able to like surrender to the process. So that would probably be really helpful then.
That's a really wise statement. And then also first-time moms who are just really holding on to that fear of like, what's motherhood going to be like? Can I actually do this? It's amazing what we store in our tissues and our cells. And if you have that vibration of fear or like that storyline happening in your body, your muscles will start to tense and you're literally like holding on to your baby. So Reiki, probably acupuncture too, all these different like Eastern energy techniques just help unblock for I guess
The
energy blocks,
blockages, yeah.
the blockages, so your body can intuitively do what it needs to do.
Yeah, especially with sort of postpartum too, like because especially first time moms, but all moms in general, that postpartum period is hard and people don't know how to prepare for it or what to expect. So I bet this would be like a great benefit to women postpartum who may, and I talked about this when I interviewed a woman about acupuncture too, like people who may want to like take a different path than just getting on medication or something like that. And may not know a gentler way to help the process. So that would be really beneficial.
It is. It's super beneficial. And I think, like, more because I obviously lean into like more of the energetics of things, but we have literally like gone to another world to birth our baby, to collect our baby and bring them earthside. That leaves us open hugely energetically in a way that I don't think any kind of like science or Western thought can really like put words on that. And Reiki is a really gentle way to close that down, bring you back to earth, and like help you be grounded and mother from that place instead of like being like this wide open energy field. So I do think like especially when there's birth trauma, like that energy field like has the potential to stay open longer. So I do think Reiki is really beneficial for that. But then also, yes, when we're having self-doubt or anxiety, depression, these Reiki is just a really amazing way to balance the nervous system and bring you back to a place of peace and well-being.
I feel like because I, in my past, like I've always worked in like science and healthcare and traditional like Western medicine. And through my birth experiences, I've become looking into like the much more holistic side of things. And like now I'm getting into more the spiritual side of things on like pregnancy and birth and motherhood in general. And I feel like most people in Western culture think things like that are just like woo-woo. They couldn't possibly be beneficial. But I think there can be a good balance because there are going to be people that they're going to be on either extreme, and there's going to be people in the middle that are using all kinds of modalities together. And I think it could be so beneficial to look into different options that you may not have explored before that may have seemed weird to you or something like that. Like, I didn't do acupuncture for the first time until I was pregnant with my second because I just thought that was a weird thing. I'm like, why would anyone ever want to do that?
Why would I
So,
want to? needles in my body.
Right.
Right.
And I think just especially what we see on TV and everything, like painting Eastern medicine out to be like some woo-woo thing that couldn't possibly work. And I think that is a very good thing to realize is that the different modalities can all work together to help with healing.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think you're defining holistic care. It's, I mean, I guess some people would consider holistic care not including Western medicine at all, but I don't think that's true. And just on that note of it all being woo-woo or just not recognizing it as legitimate Eastern medicine or alternative medicine, I think it's just important to remember that it's that until it's proven legitimate by science. And sometimes we can't use science for these more metaphysical things, not yet at least.
Yeah.
But I always just invite people to try it. And I think as soon as someone tries it, they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I waited this long.
Yeah. And if it benefits you and you're seeing benefit from it, who cares if it's not scientifically proven in like a journal or something? Like if you are seeing benefit from it and you're enjoying it and it's making your life better, then I don't think it matters. So one thing I've heard recently, like just hearing from other people talk about Reiki, like how do you feel about people saying that it's like anti-Christian or like it's demonic or it has all these things? So if like if you're a Christian, you can't go get Reiki, what would your response be to that?
Yeah, I'm really glad you're bringing that up because I think there's maybe a lot of fear there is what I'm thinking. So the principles of Reiki are just that it literally can't be used for bad. It can only be used for healing and for magnifying like goodness in the world. So that's one thing, but also, you know, I can't change anyone's beliefs, but I can definitely tell you it's not demonic. And I also have many, many clients who identify as Christian and have a really strong Christian faith. A lot of the women who have worked on me, who have been devoted Reiki practitioners, also have a very strong Christian faith. And I think the women that I've talked to who are really committed to Reiki and who also have a really strong Christian faith say that it helps them be a better Christian, which I think is so cool. And I think that's because it has the ability to just bring so much warmth and compassion to your life, especially when you're working with lots of people. It only magnifies compassion and like this idea of interconnection. And I guess I just, from my perspective, I can't see how that could ever be anything but beneficial and good, but to each their own. And of course, respect everyone's beliefs and you have to do what you feel comfortable with. But yeah, it's a great question.
Yeah, there was a big thread in like, you know, a Facebook mom group, you know, how those get people arguing back and forth about it. So I just thought I'd bring that up because anyone who's listening who may be thinking, well, it does this go against my beliefs or something like that, it could be beneficial for me. That's good to clear up for them so they know that that could potentially be an option for them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great point to hit for sure.
Yeah. So I guess like an actual session, we kind of touched on this a little bit, but how long is a session usually? Does it vary depending on the severity of the issue or what do you think, or how does that look for the majority of your clients, I guess?
Yeah, so I offer hour-long sessions or 90-minute long sessions. I like both because I think a lot of people come in needing to talk first. And I do think talking and kind of, you know, processing verbally is really important. So sometimes that can take away from like the time you're on the table. Mm-hmm. So sometimes like an hour-long Reiki session will only look like 45 minutes. And then that's why I think the 90-minute option can be really helpful. But usually I think it takes about 3 sessions for the body to really integrate the energy in a way that's super beneficial. So even if you're coming and you're only getting 45 minutes of actual energy healing, it's still going to give you great benefit. So that's just the way I put it.
So that's what I was going to ask. Another thing is how many sessions, but is Reiki something that you can continue like for like a maintenance, I guess, like continue coming back regardless of if you're pregnant or postpartum or not? Can you just get it regularly?
Yeah, so I definitely suggest it's like very similar to acupuncture or massage, but I think for most people, including myself, once a month is crucial. And that's just because think of everything that happens in a month to get you out of alignment or even how you would treat the chiropractor. But I think what's really cool about Reiki specifically as it invites you to really take notice of what's going in your life, on in your life, and then noticing when you're out of alignment. And that gives you the opportunity to be like, okay, maybe this would be the time to schedule an appointment. Or maybe I feel great this month and we skip it and I see how I feel next month.
Can someone ever get too much Reiki?
No, I don't think so. I wish I could. I guess I could can give it to myself every day, and I try to. But no, it's so. If we're liking it to like a yoga practice, which is, you can get that same benefit through yoga or Tai Chi or Qigong. No, doing it daily will only amplify your well-being.
So I
But
guess,
obviously, it's coming to me
yeah.
daily.
So I guess if someone were to ask, like the only risks of Reiki would be like intense emotional releases. Would that probably be the only risk?
Yeah, also
If you want to
exhaust.
consider that a risk.
Yeah, I would say the only like caution would be I think I get a lot of feedback that it's hard to like continue sometimes your normal day afterwards because it's such an intense release. I it's kind of like when you cried and you really needed to cry and you feel so exhausted afterward. Do you know that feeling?
Yes, and then you're tired. It's
And then you're tired and you need a
like a
nap.
toddler throwing a tantrum and then they're exhausted.
Exactly. So it can be like that. I've had a lot of clients say like I have to go home and take an hour long nap afterwards. And I
Yeah.
think that's just their unique disposition. Like they have to process the energy that way and that's part of their healing. So, but some people also are like I'm ready to go take a jog and like are full of joy and play and so it just yeah, it varies widely.
This brings up another thing that I'm interested in now. Is Reiki similar or like along the same wavelength as like a somatic release? Like, have you seen those videos of somatic sessions?
I have, and I will say, like, those seem very intense to me. Like, every time
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit. Oh, I was
You can
cursed. I'm
cuss.
sorry.
You're fine. You're
Okay.
fine.
It's way gentler than that.
Okay.
And I don't know enough about that to, it is a somatic release. That's by definition, that's what's happening. But you're not like trembling on the table. Yeah.
Okay.
People almost always cry. Yes. Like, you can expect tears. But it's way, it's not like what you see in those Instagram
Yeah,
ads.
like I've been scrolling through reels and like have seen somatic releases, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is intense.
Honestly, I don't know. The jury's still out for me on that because I to me, like when I see that, I'm like, that seems harsh almost. I think because I've been
Yeah.
practicing Reiki for so long and I know how gentle and loving it is. I think our body also needs to go at its own pace. And when I see those somatic videos, I'm like, that seems like aggressive.
Like
So
0 to 100.
100. Yeah. So yeah, it's not quite like that. It's a lot more gentle. Often people will fall asleep the whole time. And then when the session's over, I'll often hear them say, I think I fell asleep, but I wasn't really asleep. And I think that's kind of like that in between state that your body goes while it's kind of integrating the energy. So
Yeah, that kind of makes me think. I did a podcast interview with Terry Kushoff, the or Tushoff, sorry, the founder of HypnoBabies, because I took HypnoBabies for my second birth, and
I saw that.
she was talking about hypnosis and how we're all in states of hypnosis every single day. It's like that in between where she described it as, think about when you're driving and you don't remember how you got somewhere, like somewhere that you like drive normally and you don't remember where the last 5 minutes went. Like that can be described as a state of hypnosis. It's just like a really deep concentration that we're all in. It kind of makes me think of that. Like when you're listening, when you're in hypnosis, you can feel like you're asleep, but you're not really asleep. So that sounds pretty similar.
It is very similar. And then it makes me just want to go into like yoga philosophy because it's the only like group of thought I can think that names those different kinds of states that you can access through yoga as well.
Yeah,
And I
because
think
you teach yoga as well too,
I
right?
do.
Yeah.
And my background is very much heavy in yoga philosophy. So Yeah, I kind of just love that, like, our energetic bodies know exactly what they're doing, and we just enter those more meditative or hypnotic states naturally, because that's where the most healing occurs, in my opinion.
So is there, because you mentioned like for pregnant women, it could potentially help with nausea. Are there any other like physical manifestations as far as like conditions or issues that Reiki has been shown to be beneficial for, or is it primarily just like the emotional and mental?
Actually, there's been a lot of studies done on chemotherapy patients and cancer patients, which is not obviously the population I practice on, but I find it very fascinating and it's very well studied. So it definitely has the potential to help with physical pain. And I can only think, like, if it's helping cancer patients, then I think it would probably help. And I know so that it will help the common aches and pains of pregnancy as well.
Yeah. So I was thinking about like other women's health issues, like PCOS or endometriosis, like the pains that come along with that, that could potentially have some benefit there, especially because we know that our physical pain is so often linked to our mental state and how we're experiencing and perceiving that physical pain could have a lot to do with our mental state. So it's all, we know it's all intertwined and it all works together.
Yeah. So yeah, that's definitely a very true statement. So, and I think that's why I love Reiki so much, because it works with the mind, body, spirit. It doesn't leave anything out. We're not just doing talk therapy, which there's nothing wrong with talk therapy. I love my therapist, but we have to hit the body and the energetic body as well if we're actually truly going to heal and release what we've been storing for lifetimes in our body and in our DNA too.
So what would you tell someone who's like kind of on the fence, like, is this going to be beneficial for me? Like, is it not going to be? How would you help them like make that decision on if they should proceed with trying to do Reiki?
Yeah. So you definitely have to be open to it and ready for it. So I would just say, if you feel like you can have an open mind and you want to proceed with curiosity, then I think it would be a great practice.
And where, I know, so you're in the Indianapolis area. So where can people find you, like online, or people that aren't local who would like to just learn more about what you offer and what Reiki is?
Yeah, sure. My website is wholemamawellness.com, with probably not the most typical spelling of mama, so you'll have to write it out however you do that. And then my Instagram is also wholemamawellness.
Okay. And then is there anything else you would like the listeners to know or say before we wrap up?
Yeah, I definitely was thinking, we were just talking about like PCOS, is that I'm now kind of offering everything I've learned in the past decade into like this one really great bundle that I'm calling the Sacred Motherhood Journey. And we just basically are diving deep into holistic practices. So yoni steaming is what just popped up for me because you said PCOS. So what I'm really excited about is bundling like yoni steaming, then having a Reiki session, or also my background in health coaching. So nutrition guidance, herbal supplements, and various things like that, bundling that in with Reiki therapy, and trying to think what else I'm missing. Oh, like yoga. So like personally curated yoga classes for what you're going through in this specific time in your life. And then on like really a million other holistic practices and Eastern thinking to just bolster you up through this journey of motherhood, because I think oftentimes we enter it and we're just like so lost. And I wish I, you know, I mean, I guess I did have a lot of these tools, but it feels really good to have someone like kind of guiding you through and helping you stay accountable and helping you process it, like all the harder emotions that come up with motherhood.
And I do also want to mention before I forget and before we wrap up, so this could be very beneficial for other doulas and birth workers as well, who may experience that secondhand trauma. Do you think that is an accurate statement, to help process and like go through the birth stages supported?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I would say like 30% of my clientele are other doulas in the Indy area for this very reason. So yes, I would love to see every birth worker, midwives too, OBs if they're open to it, but I do think it's a really essential way to help process births and just like leave the trauma at the door. Like, we don't need to bring someone else's trauma into our next birth. And I think that happens far too often.
Yeah. So if you are a birth worker in the Indianapolis area, go see Madison.
That's right.
You just finished another episode of the Ebb and Flow Birth Show. For more, head over to ebbandflowbirthco.com or on Instagram at ebbandflowbirthco. As a reminder, this podcast is provided to you for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not a substitute for medical advice. Until next time, bye, friends.